Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. We're back in the podcast closet.
Woo!
And by that I mean no one's coming out of the closet. We're just in a closet to record.
Yes, we are literally in a closet. It's nice they gave us glass doors though, so we can see the outside world slightly. The newsroom, whatever that is.
We can see people walking by looking at us like, well, yeah. Those two are really cramped in there. Bless them. Anyway, how's it going, Rex Hupke?
It's going fine. You know, no, it's bad. It's very bad. Everything's bad. I'm not happy.
I brought, same.
You've got some, let's go to you, though.
I brought some exciting mail with me.
Hope and gladness coming your way.
Yeah. So I'm going to be sniffly and coffee during this here podcast, but I'm here for you, people. But the Jews for Jesus folks have been sharing some good tidings in my neighborhood. So there's a little package and it says, a message of hope and gladness for Jewish people, but it's in quotes.
Yes.
So for Jewish people.
Yes. Parentheses.
But it's a nice little mailer with fake postage on it.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's stamped to say Israel. Like, wow, Israel sent me a letter.
Yes.
Being a Jew, I better open it right away.
This is from headquarters.
Jewish Pope needs me.
Yes.
So we open it and we're presented with a DVD, because who in the hell has a DVD player anymore? I don't have any ability to play a CD in my home.
Yeah, no.
But this here says, the testimony of Tom Cantor, president, founder of, CEO of Scantabodies Laboratory, Inc.
Which does not in any way sound incredibly evil.
Nope. A message of hope and gladness for Jewish people. And then it says, English and Russian version, Hebrew subtitles.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guy. Flip it, you're like, I want to know more. Flip it over. More. In quotes, a message of hope and gladness for Jewish people. Still not sure what you're selling here, Tom Cantor. Better open up the accompanying book.
Tom Cantor of Scantabodies.
Yeah, there he is. We got an FAQ by Jewish people. Thank you so much. Frequently asked questions by Jewish people. Wait, I'm a Jewish people. What are my questions? I better open them. So let's go to page 15 and see, what is it I'm asking? What should I be asking? It's also by Tom Cantor, and it is Israel Restoration Ministries, and you can find that at friendshipwithgod.org.
Of course.
So we open this and immediately we're like, wait a minute. Sounds like some Christians are trying to get me to leave the country and move to Israel right away to get out of their way to fulfill a biblical prophecy. Hang on a minute.
Uh-oh.
So it's pretty exciting. This here is real exciting. Here's the thing. Jews for Jesus, in my opinion, not Jews.
It's just kind of...
Yeah. The Jesus part negates it.
It's like saying burger eaters for veganism.
Yeah, something.
Steak lovers for veganism.
Yeah, it's not working for me.
It doesn't jibe.
So we got a whole lot of New Testament. There's an index in the back for all of your New Testament needs.
Also a section for notes, I see, as well.
That's handy. You can write notes. You might have a revelation. And here's...
So to speak.
Let me share with you some of the subheadings in the index. The Messiah would cry out to God as he was forsaken by God at his crucifixion. Hey, guess what is not a part of the Jewish narrative?
The crucifixion bit.
JC and the crucifixion. Feel free to use that as a band name. There's a lot going on in here. So prophecy and fulfillment section, that'll help you. There's a whole section there. There's a whole lot about something God told Moses, apparently, beyond the little conversation at Sinai with the tablets and whatnot. Apparently, there was more than that. There's a lot going on here.
I've heard of Jews for Jesus ever since there was a bit in the movie Airplane.
Yeah.
Where they, somebody's getting accosted by like every, Greenpeace? Can I, care to sign up for Greenpeace? Oh, Jews for Jesus. Like, there's this whole, routine. But I've never really understood what they do or what they're trying to do? Is it part of confusing? Is it part of fulfilling the like return of Jesus prophecy, or is it wanting to get the Jews out of here? Like, what's the?
It's a little of both, because it's not one single narrative there. you know, it's tricky because the idea of the messianic age can be a lot of things. And, you know, like, I believe it's when everyone gets their head out of their ass and we're all, like, living in a very cooperative society. To me, that's a blissful, idyllic place. Great.
Reasonable goal.
It has nothing to do with Jesus, though. Other people disagree with me. So, anyway, so I once got a very beautiful leather-bound book that was like, here's your guide to getting the hell out of my country, evil Jew. Please do so now. Here's some resources for you. Apply for this grant and be on your way. And there was even like a little bookmark in there that was like, if you act now, we'll help you and give you money if you can, if you promise to leave by so-and-so. It was basically like, if you're out of here by Christmas, we'll help you. We'll give you $2,000 or something.
Honestly, at the moment, that might be worth considering. I might convert to Judaism just so I could get that deal and get out of here.
I mean, you would look cool with Payas, the little curls yes, on the side.
Thank you.
Anyway, so we got a lot going here. I feel like this book is going to give me hours of entertainment. So just watch your text messages, Rex Hupke. I'm just going to be sending you pictures of really weird shit for a little while.
I'm all for it. Thank you. I could use more of that.
The FAQ is particularly good. It's just, I mean, it's like... it's a whole lot of evangelical stuff. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's like, here are your choices. You can become a Christian or you can GTFO.
I'd love to see the DVD. Hello, Jews. My name is Tom Cantor.
Yeah. Oh, wait. We missed a very important part on the bottom of the DVD. It says, this DVD contains a message to you from Tom Cantor, President, Scantabodies Laboratory, San Diego, California, and... 2009 Whistleblower of the Year.
Ah, fancy. I want to know what Scantabodies is.
Do you have a DVD player?
Yeah, actually, we do
still
have one.
Please take the Tom Cantor DVD home and report back.
Excellent. It'll make lovely family viewing.
Yeah.
Gather around, kids. Tom Cantor's got some things to say about
the Jews. Gather around, children. You know that someone's going to share this and he's going to show up here and throw, you know... something at us or
something, right?
Yeah, something.
Okay, wait, what is... I'm trying to Google Scantabodies because it sounds like a place where, you know...
It sounds like a place that is not... It sounds like Art Vandelay Industries to me.
Right. Yeah, well, anyway, once I get to the bottom of this, I'll report back, but I'm sure it's...
I'm going to make you the Jews for Jesus correspondent of this here podcast.
Thank you. J for JC.
I'm here to help. I'm going to hang on to this really exciting envelope.
It's nice.
I'm going to tweet this out because this is, I feel like, something people need to see, especially with the...
Well, they got the menorah on the front, too. It's really nice.
Well...
It's in the background.
Yeah, they do. A graphic designer has profited from this. Yes. That's great. Yes. But I'm going to hang on to this little book because I might have questions about the questions that I have. Anyway, friends, you don't come to this podcast for lessons in Judaizing.
Brought to you by Scantabodies Industries. Guthin Hupke, brought to you by Scantabodies Industries.
Not even a little bit. Lord have mercy. I would say this one is tamer than the one I got last time.
Really?
That I got last time was very little about... It wasn't so much trying to convert any of us to Christianity. It was just like, you and your Jew blood, please leave. It was really clear. It was not like, even if you converted to Christianity, you're still going to hell. You and your horns and tail and... Jew stuff.
Appreciate him not soft pedaling it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate someone who just comes right out with it. It's like, you and your people are a problem to me. Please leave. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Because there are people that are a problem to me, and I would like them to leave as well. Yes. It is not defined by religion. It is defined by roll shitty policy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that brings us up to now.
I was going to say, there's a good segue to be had here, I think, talking about this sort of religious... quackery, pseudo-Christianity type stuff, and our current situation in which people seem to be excited about stealing children from their parents and holding them hostage to keep brown people from coming into the country. That's one way to put it, anyway. And I've found this to be this whole thing has been maddening from the get-go, but this week, right before Trump left to go and completely destroy NATO.
I mean,
he said specifically, and you know, the one thing I admire about Donald Trump is that he's dumb enough to just say the shit that he's supposed to not say out loud, because, and he does this from time to time, where it just kind of lets it all out of the bag. And he was asked how what they're doing to solve the, what's the solution to this problem with the 3,000 migrant kids who are separated from their parents. And he said, the solution is don't come to this country. Basically, like, it's your fault. Don't come here illegally. Bad things are going to happen to you. No, even, like, not even a hint of compassion or anything. Because, again, you know, we aren't talking about 3,000 locked up MS-13 gang members. We're talking about 3,000 children, many whom now seem basically lost in the system. Like, they don't even know where their parents are. They're having to do DNA tests. They're in some cases, apparently, the parents are having to pay for flights to get their kids back, when obviously these people don't have money in the first place.
And some reports of paying for the DNA testing as well.
Right, exactly. And it's just horrendous. And I can't believe it. And there was something, for me, as bad as this has all been, there was something about those comments from him, just off the cuff, because it was like the drunk guy at the end of the bar grumbling, well, they shouldn't have come here in the first place. And that's what's leading our country, is that's how our policy is being created, is from, like, the meanest, most ignorant, poorly thought out position. And it's really, really maddening.
Yeah, which, you know, I think evidence of that is not only all the things you just described, but also the recent video of the man screaming at the woman who was wearing the T-shirt that had, like, the Puerto Rican flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, U.S. territory guy.
Right. Yeah, that's the United States.
That's actual U.S. land,
so it's
right
one
there.
One of us.
I mean, the stupidity is mind-blowing.
Staring,
but there's so many of those videos, and they're not new. Mm-mm. Like, this crap we're talking about, with this crap people are putting in my door of, you know, Jews become Christians or get the hell out of here, that's not new. That's been happening for years. The first one I ever got, I was in my 20s.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not new, and I'm very far from my 20s now. I don't know if you guys know that.
Pushing 30, folks.
Yeah.
Pushing 30.
Which direction?
But, yeah, you're right. But it's now become mainstream. It's now become so much more in your face. You now have people.
It's a point of pride now.
Right.
It's a point of pride to be, like, there was another woman who was, like, on a bus in New York. I think she was in, I can't remember what borough, but she was, there's a video of her screaming at people on the bus, at the bus driver at some point. Just, she was eventually arrested. I don't know if she ended up being charged or not, and taken off the bus, but completely disruptive and insane. And some of the comments around this video were like, you know, you tell them, sister, and, you know, that's what I'm talking about. She's a warrior for the cause. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no pride in spewing, you know, gross hatred and nasty shit like that. That's it. I think there's some optimism to be found, because I think this is getting so terrible that people are realizing, people are, like, abandoning their peace and love and dialogue stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really starting to say, okay, I'm going to need to do something here. I'm going to have to make a difference. I'm going to have to, this is up to me. I need to do what I can. And I feel like some optimism, because people are like, you know what, screw it. Burn it to the ground. Let's start over. This is terrible. This has gone too far, and we know how this ends. We see we see where this is headed.
I hope so. I hope you're right, because it's time for that.
Well, the alternative is we're going to keep descending into a fascist state, and I won't be here to say it. So,
yeah.
So I choose to believe, because the alternative is, you know, gas chambers of days of yore and whatnot.
Yeah, it's there was the thing this week about Stephen Miller, one of the most loathsome people in the Trump administration, who I believe is really the monster behind much of this immigration stuff. About how he got $80 worth of sushi, and then the bartender from the sushi place came out and yelled at him.
Don't care.
So he threw the sushi away because he was so mad.
Oh, you sure showed me.
I'm like, the number one thing there is, like, in all the sort of Trump, tough guy, real American, blah, 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 nobody really picked up on the fact that the dude just bought $80 worth of sushi, which sounds like a pretty liberal elite kind of thing to do. A, number one. B, go bartender and screw these people. Because the Washington Post had a whole story about how, like, what's her name, Kellyanne Conway was getting, you know, people were yelling at her at the grocery store. And it was this kind of, I know why the Washington Post did the story. It was a worthwhile story to do. I'm not criticizing them.
Right.
But I was like, oh, where? Like, I don't want to see, I want.
Well, it's like for a group that just spent a lot of time calling everyone else a snowflake for saying,
right.
Hey, you know, it's cool to use whatever pronoun someone wants to use and you know, looking out for other human beings that are not myself. And,
right, yeah.
You know, like anything like that was construed as snowflake behavior. And it's like this group that has, you know, been accusing people of snowflakery all mm-hmm. this time is suddenly like, you know, you're kind of a prissy little bitch, actually.
Yeah,
all y'all.
Exactly. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's with everything. I mean, with everything, there's this immense, staggering hypocrisy. I mean, you look at the Supreme Court nominee, which we can talk about more in a minute, but the way that they're treating him after the way they treated Merrick Garland, I mean, these aren't, it's not like, you know, we're talking about sort of ideological pushes back and forth or something like that. I mean, this is like alternative reality, where when I call you a snowflake, that's fine. When you do anything to offend me, that's horrible. When I take ridiculous steps to block your
dipshittery is the word you want.
Yeah, but like when they try to block a Supreme Court justice,
right.
It's fine, and that's the right thing to do. When
oh, yeah.
we do, it's, you know, tyranny or something. You know, I mean, it's two different worlds, and the idea that there's like room for negotiation in here is ridiculous, because for them it's their way or zero.
We're far beyond. I mean, right. I think that's the continuation of the. As people are starting to realize what a lot of us have been saying a while, it's like, there's really not room for dialogue anymore, kind of over the dialogue. There's also really not room for negotiation. You just have to just move forward. You cannot wait for permission to move forward.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just have to say, look, I'm just going to organize here in my community and do my best and do this. You were just staring longingly at Tom Cantor.
Oh, yeah. No,
Tom, DVD.
Tom's, it's like the Mona Lisa. He's always looking at me, no matter where I sit. He's in my head now, Tom. Mm-hmm. Damn you, Tom. It's so frustrating. It's so maddening right now, because there is, this is minority rule that we're dealing with. They are, you know, a president who lost the popular vote in dramatic fashion is picking Supreme Court justices who will undoubtedly back things that huge majorities of the country don't want. The administration is doing things like child separation, like trying to destroy Obamacare still, that, again, huge portions of the country don't want. So we have, it's everything's flipped right now, and it's very, very, you know, it's frustrating not only because of what is actually happening. It's frustrating because of sort of the dynamics of it, because it shouldn't be happening. You know what I mean? It sort of it all kind of defies any sense of logic or fairness. And I think that really makes a lot of people struggle with this.
Well, that's good old fashioned fascism right there.
Fashioned fascism.
Yeah, say that three times fast. I mean, it's really, that's really what we're talking about, right? Because it's a minority of people in power. I mean, it's a small group of white men carrying a whole lot of power, as they have for a very long time, and they're exercising it in such a really horrible way. And in fact, just last night I was having a conversation with my friend about how differently so many conversations that she and I have had with each other and with our friends over the last couple of years, how differently those conversations may be even in a few months. Like we're thinking particularly around overturning Roe v. Wade, and we're like, what a different, we're thinking in conversations we've had in our lives and particularly lately, and just like how differently those conversations will go. And that's unfathomable.
It is, right?
And it's not unfathomable to people in like my mom's age group. You know, my mom has had that, you know, discussion with many people, and you know, a lot of women her age have had that kind of discussion of having to travel to another state and things like that. We're not far from that at this moment. I mean, as Kentucky has closed down, I think all but one, but I think that one was about to close, clinics, and we have so much conversation going around the crisis pregnancy church thing that's going on, that like I'm not, that that's horrible, that's a crisis of, you know, very epic proportions. Because look, you're free to disagree with me, we're all entitled to our opinion, but I believe that abortion access is healthcare, and it really is nobody's business of what to do. That's a decision between a woman and herself. That, I mean, for her to figure out. I think it's even horrible when, and I've heard so many stories from, you know, friends over the years of like really douchey things men have done in that moment, starting with like, I want to see the pregnancy test to prove that you're telling me the truth, all the way to you're not shaking me down for money, all the way to, you know, piss off, you know, in just, or you're not thinking about my feelings. We're like, you know what, dude, get, like, even that is not acceptable. So for it to be from a man I've never even met making law, like, get out of here with that. That's, and it's, and the thing is that I keep going back to is that that's restricting abortion access is not going to stop abortion from happening. It's just going to make it very unsafe. It's going to make it, at best, with perfectly qualified abortion providers just in non-licensed facilities, so that if something does go wrong, it's going to be real tricky to get emergency medical access.
Sure.
Or it'll be like in a home environment, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's insane. And it's going to, and look, I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, I do not personally believe that there's any way to stop this. I don't. That doesn't mean I don't think people should fight tooth and nail against the placement of this Supreme Court judge, the confirmation of the Supreme Court judge. But it's gonna, I mean, I don't see how it stop, how it gets stopped, and if it doesn't get stopped, it's, then Roe v. Wade is done. I mean, there's no question in my mind that it's going to be gone.
None whatsoever.
And that's shocking. I mean, honestly, like, when you think about, if you'd asked me a couple years ago, even, I would have said, no, there's no way. But, I mean, this is just stunning. And again, it's the speed with which we're seeing everything eroded, everything changed, all the norms just completely bent and thrown out of whack. But yeah,
so hilarious, right? Because I feel like the narrative and, you know, popular belief for so long has been how it takes so long to do anything in a bureaucratic setting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really. If hatreds feel in the way, you can do things really fast, can't you there?
Right, and if you just don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is really what they're doing. I mean, it's like, I mean, if you know, they always use Obamacare, like, well, they jammed Obamacare down our throats, which is absolute horseshit. I mean, you know, they could have. They had full control of the Democrats had control of everything. They could have jammed Obamacare down everybody's throats if they wanted to. But they bent over backwards to try to get Republicans involved, to try to reach out, to try to make. And the final product was a lot less of what liberals really wanted in terms of universal health care and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but then, you know, these guys come along and fuck it, we'll do whatever, I don't give a shit. I mean, it just goes out to everything. I mean, you know, it's insane, this whole I keep bouncing back to the immigration situation, but this whole thing with the kids, they just started doing that. There was obviously, they're saying now in court papers, there was no plan for reunification. There was it's like, who the hell does this? I mean, it's,
you know,
insane.
People that don't view all people as human beings, that's
yeah.
who, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it was clearly done with the view that brown people are less human than white people. Like, there's really no other explanation than that, other than you racist asshole, view these children as subhuman.
Yeah.
And that's that, like, I said this last week, this shit is, I know it's keeping a lot of people awake at night, but I'm always playing out scenarios in my head. So I'm like, okay, What happens in 5 years, in 10 years? Like, what happens with this group of children as they grow up? Even if you are reunited tomorrow, that is a psychological scar on you. There's no way that wouldn't be. I mean, Jesus Christ, I got psychological scars from like one little passing comment one time that my dad made about a grade on a report card, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, holy shit, I know that sleeping in some kind of detention facility would be very upsetting to a small child, not knowing where your parents are,
right.
Perhaps having guardians around you that are not with whom you do not share a language. Like, that would be extremely. I just am so concerned with the well-being of the babies involved in this and what it will take to heal them, and because their right to a healthy, happy adulthood has been dramatically altered through this bullshit.
And what are you are building future enemies.
Oh, it's well, all, shit, I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's
totally.
All you're doing.
Totally.
And, I mean, these kids are going to be, most of them are going to be very, very psychologically damaged from this.
There's and
just
I won't
no,
blame them.
There's just, right. There's no question. And down the line, who knows how that manifests itself, and it could manifest itself in all kinds of very negative ways
or very awesome ways. Like, it could, you know,
light
the fire under some child and be like, I'm gonna be president of this country and I'm gonna put that man in jail. That'd be awesome.
Of course, it's not like it's all gonna be bad.
Although,
by any means, but
I mean, okay, let's say if like a small child, by the time that kid is 35, if Trump is still alive, I give up.
Yeah, exactly. I was it's funny, you know, he's the kind of person who's going to live to be like 120, though, because I'm convinced that like mean people like that for some reason, they
spite
just don't
keeps
die.
Them alive.
Yeah, right. It's,
I know.
It's amazing. So whatever. Or he'll be around, hopefully.
I mean, I had a relative that, you know, she was a little bitter. She had a rough life. She had a really, really rough life. She was very particular, a little bit bitter about some of the cards life dealt her. She lived a very long time when there was no reason for her to do so. Mm. Like, her health was bad, all these things. And I'm convinced, I'm always saying, like, she's still alive for spite. I mean, when she finally died, I think she was like, man, I'm tired, let's go. I mean, I really think it was like that. So, yeah, no. I mean, you would think that guy would have a heart attack because he apparently eats like crap.
Yeah.
And I don't feel physically well when I'm in a crappy mood. So, to me, that would, like, his terrible carrying around all that hatred sounds like it would be exhausting.
Yeah,
but to him it is fuel.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, I think the disease, whatever, you know, old age diseases just don't even want to go there because it's a bad place. It's
even
too bad.
Diseases
for them
are avoiding.
Yeah,
you.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk about that Brett Kavanaugh. First of all, hilarious that his name is Brett.
Brett.
Right, the broiest bro.
Brettster. So.
Brett M. Kavanaugh, he thanked Trump for his nomination to the Supreme Court. But then he said like a super weird thing that seemed like kind of casual. But in fact, it was not, because it's not real. He said, quote, "No president has ever consulted more widely or talked with more people from more backgrounds to seek input about a Supreme Court nomination." What are you talking about?
Upon what do you base that?
I'm gonna need you to cite your source there, big fella.
You know, yeah, it's just that's how he has to be handled. You have to praise him, Trump. I mean, it's a prerequisite. And I don't know if he was fed those lines or if he said them himself. Either way, shame on him for...
Even if he's not fed lines, I mean, if he is, that's crazy. And you are... You've passed the bar, for Christ's sakes. You should know better than to just spew bullshit like that.
Right.
Secondly, if you weren't fed those lines, like, what strange, like, Stockholm syndrome thing happens to the people around Trump that they're all like, leader, praise the leader. Maybe they got a Tom Cantor CD.
Maybe so, yeah.
Maybe Tom Cantor speaks on a variety of brainwashing topics.
He's like,
I'm going to get the Jews into Jesus, the politicians into Trump, and he's got like a list.
He's like the puppet master, sort of.
He's the Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you, Rex, someone is going to send Tom Cantor this podcast, and he's going to, you know.
It should be great.
Put like a...
T-Dog, we're here for you, man. Come on.
I'm not here for him. I want nothing to do with Tom Cantor and his strange disciples putting crap on my mailbox. And they're everywhere.
Ruddy-cheeked fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get the sort of like, Stockholm syndrome is a great way of describing it. I mean, it is. It's like, I mean, when you see and we've seen that so many times, these people get around him and they just become like, you know, servants or something like that. The way, what was it? It was Scott Pruitt's resignation letter. was the craziest thing I've ever read. It was like, oh, it's been such an honor to serve in the presence of this great leader. I mean, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. I mean, that guy's a, you know, complete scam artist of, in his own right.
Oh, my God. But Scott Pruitt is...
Yeah, but even with that, I mean, I was like, what the hell is this? It's freakish. It is so weird. And this is... And honestly, the dynamics of Trumpism are very, very quickly showing increasing signs of cultishness. You know, like when you look at his followers and you look at the inability to see any flaws, it's really creepy. I mean, it's a lot of the email I get and stuff where you're just like, okay, look, I get you like him. I get you like some of the stuff, but... Holy Christ, you're acting like, you know, this guy walks on water and it's really freaking me out.
So did we specifically talk about Pruitt? Because here's what I'd like to add to it, in case we did. And if we didn't, let's do. Okay. Because I believe I said several months ago that I'm just going to stay focused and keep moving forward and to hell with all these insane people because I don't believe in grave dancing. But Scott Pruitt was my exception because I really despise him so much. And I just think he is just a child, right? He is a child that's been given like a lot of cash and a lot of access. Mm-hmm. And he's just like his dumb shit was so... At the expense of generations and generations, like his disregard for the environment was just so horrible. And that was so upsetting to me that I was like, you know what? When that guy meets his demise politically, I'm going to be excited about it. And I was excited about it. Not as excited as CNN, because CNN started scrolling a list of all the scandals, which was amazing.
Yeah. And it was insane how many there were.
So many. And they have a list that they have put together. So... we have the travel stuff, including he used a private plane and military jet to travel 4 times instead of flying commercial at a price of $60,000. Get out of here. And he was like citing, oh, well, it's security. Get out of here. Shut up, dude. There was the, oh, let's see. Oh, well, he did defend the first class travel once he was kind of busted on that. There was the, well, I'm trying to find this one in particular, but it was, I believe the number was about $3,100 that his office spent on pens and journals.
Nice.
I am an avid journaler, and I don't think I've spent three grand on pens and journals in my lifetime.
Right.
And I've been doing that since first grade, so get out of here, you weirdo.
He is a weirdo.
The whole thing where, let's see. Oh, there was a hotel that he liked the lotion from there. So he like sent an aide to go please find the Ritz-Carlton lotion. Well, you are crazy. Like that is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you in this role? Now, that said, his replacement, not much better. So I'm watching that guy like hawk.
No, his replacement is probably going to be worse overall for the environment because he's not a complete corrupt dumbass who's going to be sending people out for lotion.
He's just a plain dumbass.
Well, yeah, and he's going to just be stealthy and do his thing, which...
He's just a super capitalist, and he's going to just worry about, you know, big coal money and not care two shits about the environment.
Right. The environment's completely screwed. There's regardless of who's running that department. I mean, with this administration, it's just it's going to be an ongoing disaster. But the Pruitt thing was crazy.
And his weird thing about Chick-fil-A, remember that? Hang on, wait.
He tried to get his wife.
Okay. So he tried to get her a franchise of Chick-fil-A, and later said he and his wife loved the fast food chain and praised it as a franchise of faith.
Yes.
I mean, they do have
They're closed on Sundays. Yeah, it's a very... And they had... Of course, they weren't crazy about the gays at first, but then they sort of, you know,
they realized
a little bit.
Perhaps... The GLBTQ community likes chicken as well.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think that barb has been mended.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah.
He's another one. Look, that guy should never be able to go in public without being ridiculed.
Absolutely
as far as
not.
Concerned.
Yeah, agreed.
I have absolutely
totally
no
agreed.
Problem with that whatsoever. Unless he wants to pay back all the damn money he fleeced.
Yeah.
And start advocating for fixing the environment that he's screwing up already.
Unfortunately, though, I think that group... Are you trying to play footsie with me, weirdo?
No,
stop
not,
it. We are in a closet. I know. There's no room.
I have no room.
There is... just kidding.
What are you accusing me of?
I am accusing you of nothing, other than I kicked you by accident. What was I talking about? Scott Pruitt. Oh, and going in public. So I have seen some people, like some pundits and, you know, social media types trying to compare the videos of like the woman who confronted the guy because she heard him and his mother speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. That video, the woman on the train, you know, like the guy in the Puerto Rico shirt, like all that. I've heard some people trying to make the leap between how is this different than someone. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
It is a very different thing because one is saying you are less human to me.
Right.
You are not welcome in my land. Here's the thing. Unless you are Native American, you may not say my country ever the hell again. You cannot stand on stolen land.
Yeah.
White guy, and talk about your land and make an America. You just cannot do that. That's understand how stupid you are when you do that.
Right.
Second of all, like the difference is if I am a business owner and I say, you know what, you spew hatred and you hurt human beings and the environment and you rip families apart, I'm not serving you as a business owner. That's totally different. That is totally different because one is about I'm standing for people's right to be whoever they want versus it's specifically oppressing the right for you to be and trying to stop you from being anything but a white guy.
It's also the difference between punching up and punching down because you're talking about a regular person being the victim of hate speech
right.
from somebody
and,
versus an elected official
right.
who is in a position where they are supposed to be held accountable and they're supposed to answer answer to the public and all that sort of thing. So,
right.
I mean, I never would advocate or want to see people actually being physically, you know, harassed or anything.
I mean, I
like
throw
that.
A water balloon at somebody.
That's you.
Pretty satisfying. Right? Come on.
Maybe one of those whipped cream pies or something like that.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think that, you know, there's definitely a line there and there's a reasonable
right.
protest, your right to sort of protest a politician's behavior or an administration official's behavior. But
People have compared even like the same-sex wedding cake
mm-hmm.
business owner and the get the hell out of my restaurant, I'm not serving you, horrible politician.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not, do not conflate those. Those are not, that's not, again, one is about, I deny you the right to exist and to do your thing. The other one is about saying you don't stand for human beings and people, you are about money and power, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but the key to our current slide towards fascism is the whataboutism.
Well, yeah.
Move.
Yeah.
You know, which is with everything, you know, these child separations. Oh, yeah, well, Obama did it. You know, where were you when he was doing it? It's like, oh, God.
We can't talk about the past so much right now when we have urgent things.
Right.
We should be talking about the past, but we also should be urgently acting about in the present
right.
to undo and stop.
Yeah.
Dipshittery from it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, from going down.
I mean, if you're in a country that is committing atrocities against other human beings,
which we are,
the answer is not, well, this other guy previously did it.
Right.
So we should just keep doing it. That doesn't make any sense. It makes sense on no level. And again, it's not factually the same either, but that's, you know, what if facts matter anymore? That's all just a thing of the past, it seems like.
I know, right? Let's close on that note. Just kidding. There's so much other stuff because I haven't even read any of Trump's tweets in like weeks because I've been filtering his bitch ass.
That's probably a good thing, yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll just do it. I'll put like a 24-hour filter just to like, I don't want to see his shit for a minute. I don't think it is a responsible move for me to do that in the long term, but every once in a while I'm like, I just need a second, please.
Yeah, I need to do something like that because it was funny the, you know, I don't mean I make this too woe is me sounding because I don't mean it to be, but when I was off and we went out to Montana and I really mm-hmm. disconnected for like a good stretch, like at least 10 days, maybe a little more. And since I've been back, it's been like just absolutely brutal because that's like the longest I sort of disconnected since any Trump stuff started, like since the early days of the campaign. And I relaxed and I went away from it. And then when I got right back into it, I could really feel what that does. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel just that sort of grind and the frustration and the anger and the shit emails that I get and the, you know, just all this stuff. And it's just, it was really, oh God, it's hard.
Here's the Trump tweet that I would like to read.
Oh, good.
You're going to like this.
This will make me feel better.
This is from, this is about a day old. It begins thusly. A recent Emerson College e-poll said that most Americans, especially Hispanics, feel that they are better off under President Trump than they were under President Obama. What are you talking about?
I retweeted that and said, did you say people?
I mean,
I love how he does that. I love how he cites.
Just says the things.
Yeah, or just any poll. I mean, it could be like, you know, a Breitbart.com online poll of men who masturbate five times a day says that blah, 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 you know. So,
but.
No offense to any of our listeners.
No offense to our listener. I'm sure you just, yeah, wiped out many, many listeners by saying that. They were like, oh, I see how it is, Hupke.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. I don't even.
Yeah, where were you going with that?
I don't even know
where
to, no, I was just. No, but I mean, he cites any. It's
any
hilarious.
Crazy bullshit. He
yeah,
wants
anything
to.
That makes him look good. It's just fantastic. That's actually, I have toyed with. I don't know why I'm saying this because it would blow it if I ever actually did it. I don't think the paper would let me. But I've toyed with doing a sudden switch and becoming a pro Trump columnist.
Oh my
just
God.
Sort of out of the blue.
You're and right. The paper would never let
and
you
do it for like a month.
No way.
And just see what happens. But I think it'd be fascinating, though, because I think a ton of people would start to love me. And then all the other people, of course, would start to. It would be a real. It would really tell you something about, like, you know, the how easily people can be swayed. It would be people who previously hated me would suddenly love me.
Now, does that mean that you would just, like, find the two or three things out there to actually like about the guy? Or you would just pretend, you would take on a persona of a guy that loves him?
Yeah, I know. I would just start applauding. Like, what a great move he made. You know, fantastic.
Hupke, well, we may have to go on hiatus during that. I don't know. That would be real hard to play along.
Well, I've blown it now, so I can't do it. But
I mean, you're free to.
Yeah.
It would be fine if you did.
I think there would be some.
Also, I don't think there's any overlap with our listenership and the people who would be like, you know what? I should give this guy a chance. He's totally
that's
with my
point.
Guy.
Well, sorry, see, now you're throwing shit at me, man.
Reese's jeez. Peanut butter cup
accusing
wrapper
me of
you.
All kinds of stuff.
Sorry.
Good Lord. We need a bigger space.
Guys, we're in a literal closet.
I keep hitting my head on the clothes rack.
It is a beautiful state-of-the-art thing, but it is a tiny little. It's called a pod.
Yeah.
It's called a news pod.
It's a nice word for it.
It's the WGN-sanctioned word. It's a news pod. This, I believe, is News Pod 8, and here we are in it.
Broadcasting live from News Pod 8.
I think it is maybe 6 feet. Maybe.
Yeah. That's being fairly general.
But there's also a very large desk in it.
Yeah, which eats up half of it. So
easily.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're in the news pod, reporting live from the news pod with the FAQ from our friend Cantor.
News pod brought to you by, what was that called again?
I don't know that guy's name.
Scantabodies. Scantabodies Laboratories.
I'm telling you, we're inviting some nonsense by talking about them.
They sound like they make, you know, like artificial intelligence robots that are going to eventually rise up and kill us or something.
No, it sounds like a bathing suit manufacturer.
No, Scantabodies.
Or like
a diet pill or something like that.
Right, a diet pill or something like the Sybaris.
Pool sweets.
Is that out of Illinois? Is that outside of Illinois?
We
should
don't
explain
know.
What it is.
Sybaris pool sweets was basically like a, you know, sweet ass hotel to go bang in is pretty much what it.
I was gonna say it a little more charitably than that, Rex. I was gonna say, oh my God.
Each room's got like a big old pool and.
Have you been to one?
No, I've seen the ads though.
The ads are hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's always a couple, it's like. There's one that makes me laugh so much because she goes, Cody brought me strawberries and we're swimming away from the kids and it was so romantic. And it just shows this room with a little pool in it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. No, if you hit that room with a black light, you'd
oh, my God, it would be like a paisley shirt. It would be horrifying.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, yeah, a friend of mine used to call like the kind of motel that you would rent by the hour. Uh-huh. He used to call that a place for apple naps.
Apple Naps.
Apple Nap was just like the more PG way to say that's like a hookup place.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
So the Sybaris chain is about the Apple Nap.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
there you go.
It's an establishment for the hooking up.
Yes.
And indeed. Where did we get to that?
I don't know. We were talking about Scantabodies.
Oh, Scantabodies. It sounds like a Sybaris chain.
Spend a romantic weekend at Scantabodies.
Scantabodies. Or like a club or something, right?
Yes.
Fully nude at Scantabodies.
Gentlemen's club.
Right. Totally.
Don't miss the buffet.
It totally is that. Oh, wow. There's some real good. I just opened the book back up here. Here's a good one, an FAQ that we're going to read in a future.
I like that we're bookending the show with the testimony
it's
of Tom Cantor.
It's fascinatingly terrible. One of them is, in the FAQ, is where was God during the Nazi disaster? Not say the fucking Holocaust.
The Nazi. Do they mean the Nazi disaster as in when the Nazis lost? Is that what
right.
they're referring to?
That whole, like that little Nazi yes. thing? The Nazi disaster. Get out of here with that.
Wow.
You will say Holocaust and you will like it.
And
unless you are of the people and you say Shoah, because that's what we say.
What was the answer to that? Are they actually talking about the Holocaust? Or because again,
it's on page 53, Rex. Let's find out.
Again, at this point, for them, Nazi disaster may well be when Hitler ate a bullet. So that's a dodgy sound.
The enemies. Here's the full answer.
Yes.
The enemies of the Jewish people have always wanted to exterminate them. We know. There is always one reason why the Jewish nation has not been entirely destroyed. Okay, thanks for your help.
That's the answer?
Well, then it says a bunch of New Testament stuff.
Oh, I see.
That
Christians saved you. Is that what they basically say?
Yes. That's really where it's going with that. And then it closes with God stopped the Nazis from their plans and destroyed them halfway through their plans to wipe out all of the Jewish people living in Europe. Thanks for playing. That was a very thoughtful answer, Tom Cantor.
Okay. Well,
if I ever hear someone call it the Nazi disaster again,
yeah,
sure. I might actually explode.
That whole Nazi debacle.
Remember that like Nazi thing or whatever?
That whole Nazi mess over there. Woo. Yikes.
See, language matters. I know I say that like every episode, but language matters. Do not call it the Nazi disaster. You may call it the Holocaust. You may call it the Shoah. You may even call it genocide, but you may not call it the Nazi disaster.
Yeah, that leaves a lot of open doors there, and I don't like them, any of them.
I don't like the looks of them doors is what. Well, so I'm going to take this book, mostly because I don't want any of our colleagues here at WGN to think I left this piece of propaganda. Like, I don't know, Guth had that. Oh, no. No, no. Maybe I'll give it to someone. No, I'm not going to do that.
Hand it out in the street.
Hell no.
Amy Guth, Jews for Jesus.
Hell no. I am not doing that. No way in the world. Well, that's the thing is we're forbidden to proselytize.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if someone comes to you and says they want to convert, you're supposed to discourage them, give like three in good faith acts of discouraging them. Because
really?
That means they really want to be here.
Oh, that's interesting. I never knew that.
So you're not supposed to be like, yes,
yeah.
We've been waiting for
Got
you.
Got another one.
Got another. Give me my toaster.
Yes, like, yeah. Punch my card, please.
I guess it wouldn't be toasters for us. That'd be like, give me my Shabbat candles. I'm upgrading my Shabbat candles. I got another one, right? It's not like that. So, you know, if, like, for example, someone came to me one time and said that she was considering converting. Mm-hmm. And I said, is it because your boyfriend? And she was like, well, yeah, I mean, if we get married. I was like, that's not a good reason. You should come to it on your own.
Nice.
And then she came to me another time. And she was like, no, I'm still kind of thinking about converting. And I was like, I think it's because your boyfriend. It, you know, and I just stayed with that. And then I finally said, third time, I was like, I'm supposed to discourage you three times. And in good faith. Like, I can't make some dumb shit up. I need to actually say, like, any question I may have. So yeah. I did. And she ended up doing it. And it's fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it worked out.
Way to go. You guys each, it's a win-win. You did your thing. She did her thing. So
yeah, everybody won in that one.
Yeah.
It was all good.
Nice.
But I, you know, I lived up to the, I did try to actually, not discourage, like, don't do that. But, like, what are the reasons you want to do it?
Yeah.
Because if it's like, you know, it would be cool. I think chuppahs are pretty, and I'm kind of into this one Jewish guy. That's a terrible reason to convert. We don't want you.
I'm a big fan of matzah, and, you know.
Passover is totally fun. And then Sukkot is awesome because it's like camping. I want in. No, don't do that. We don't want that. But by saying, like, well, why are you, you know, eventually she kind of realized, you know what, it's not that he brought her to Judaism. It's that some of the things that she loved about him were some of the things that she loved about the religion, and felt like there were some things fundamental to him that also was kind of what opened the door to Judaism. And I was like, I'm very satisfied with that answer.
Yeah.
But then she had to go, like, if somebody converts, they have to go before
George Soros.
George Soros. Well, you got to get the banking stuff, like the direct deposit worked out. No, you have to go before like a rabbinic court and be challenged a little. So you got to really mean it.
That's pretty cool, actually. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be that easy.
You know? Right. Just be like, meh, I'm in. Right. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried, let's go.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
No, no, no. I always pick on him as like the one I'm willing to trade. Poor guy. He did nothing to me.
Nothing.
I'm sure he's perfectly
he's a
nice.
Nice guy. He does some funny. He's been on, he's done a couple things on, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah, I love that.
Where he's funny as hell. I mean, he's really some really funny bits on that. So you lay off of him.
I will. I'll pick on somebody else. Because there's always somebody like, well, I always want to pick on somebody like, we'll trade so-and-so for so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to say that. Anyway, you take your DVD of Tom Cantor and share it with your family and let me know how you feel about
it. Super excited about this.
As your Jewish representative, let me know if you have any questions that I can talk you through.
Thank you.
I will discourage you three times with anything that excites you.
Excellent. This sounds really good.
It'll be good. They've really given a lot of information on the DVD. I'm going to tweet out a picture of this because
you should,
it's
yeah.
super weird.
It's very weird, yes.
Also, it's really helped me get to know who in my neighborhood is Jewish because all the people like marveling at the thing at their mailbox as I walk by.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, what is it? Oh, these guys again? Versus people that are just like, oh, this is not for us, right?
This is for the...
oh, throw it out. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Steven, put it in the trash. Put it in recycling. I don't know what that is. Like, clearly...
This is from Israel. I think it's for you.
Knock, knock, knock. Isn't your last name Goth? Yes. Did you want this? I think you dropped this. It's got a menorah on it. Have this. So there's that. Good times. All right. Well,
it's been fun.
It's been fun. I hope that the world does not end before the next podcast.
Please free the children.
Please free the children.
For God's sake.
Poor little angels. It's very, very sad to me and very upsetting. And there's a video, if you've not seen it, I'm sure you have. It's gone viral. There's a filmmaker, I think Portland or Seattle, that used some court transcripts and made a video of children sitting there by themselves at the, you know, going before a judge that was just...
like a one-year-old, you know? It's like,
gutting.
On.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So we got to work that out. And we got to do things at the state level to try to protect any kind of shenanigans with Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, big time. I almost think, honestly, like, I want people to fight, but I almost think that preparing for what is almost bound to happen is maybe a better use of time. I don't know if that's true, but this is a freight train, and I don't see it.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely going to happen, but it's just going to make it harder to get an abortion and to get access to abortion, and it's going to be more dangerous.
Yep.
So...
progress, right? Jesus.
I know. On that uplifting note, you take your DVD, I'll take my book of FAQ questions I didn't know I had, and we'll meet back here next week. This has been Guth and Hopkin Politics. We'll see you next time.